WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Stacy Lynn. President Trump is meeting with Russian President Putin on Friday in Alaska and says for a peace deal, Ukrainians may have to give up some territory.
Right now, we don't have the opportunity to recapture our territories. But to prevent people from dying, we could sign some kind of agreement, but not give up our territories.
CBS's Christiane Benavides spoke about that proposal with former U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine, Bill Taylor.
What Putin is proposing is a very bad deal.
Bill Taylor served as former U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine under Presidents George W. Bush and Barack Obama.
Putin wants this meeting for two reasons. One is to stall any discussions of an end to the war. He wants to continue the war. But the second thing he wants is to come in from the cold. I mean, he's an indicted war criminal. Most of the world will not talk to him.
For now, it's just the two leaders meeting. The invitation to attend has not been extended yet to Ukrainian President Zelensky. Meanwhile, the UN Security Council's meeting today as Israel intensifies its war with Hamas and says it will take control of Gaza City. There are currently over three dozen wildfires burning across nine western states, including Utah, Arizona, Colorado, and California, where this man lives close to the Canyon Fire north of L.A.
This caught us way off guard. Never thought that it would ever make it here.
So just how efficient has the Department of Government Efficiency really been?
Even though its leader, Elon Musk, has left, DOGE continues to post spending cut claims on its so-called wall of receipts. But a review of three of the largest cuts claimed so far indicates the savings from those contracts are less than 3% of what DOGE said they were. One example, DOGE says three contracts it canceled for COVID-19 testing and treatment for people who were uninsured or underinsured during the pandemic saved $6.4 billion, but a CBS News review of transaction records indicates the actual savings is just $165 million. Christopher Cruz, CBS News, Washington.
History's been made for Major League Baseball. Jen Powell was the first female umpire to work a regular season game.
I'm just so grateful to my family, to Major League Baseball, for just creating such an amazing work environment. The umpires that I work with, who we have just amazing camaraderie, and we're having fun out there.
She was the first base ump for yesterday's first game of a split doubleheader between the Braves and the Marlins and worked third base in the second game. Today, though, she'll be calling pitches behind the plate during the final game in the series. This is CBS News.
Nothing makes a gathering great like Eggland's Best eggs. They're just so delicious, with better nutrition, too. For us, it's eggs any style, as long as they're the best. Eggland's Best.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. Farmers and their advocates want Wisconsin's elected officials to pass meaningful immigration legislation. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
The state's largest farm organization wants what it calls meaningful immigration reform rather than aggressive federal detention and deportation efforts. With the Wisconsin Farm Bureau, Tyler Wensloff points out that rural Wisconsin supported President Donald Trump in large numbers despite immigration threats being a central part of his platform. But immigrant labor is vital to the state, particularly for large dairy farms that require a year-round workforce. Wensloff says they would like to see the H-2A visa program expanded to include dairy workers.
I just want to make sure that we emphasize that moving forward, a critical step in addressing labor shortages is modernizing immigration laws. It's unrealistic to expect workers to enter legally when the current system is broken.
He says Wisconsin farmers want both a secure border and a legal, stable workforce. It's estimated that undocumented immigrants perform about 70% of the labor on dairy farms. Wensloff says they hope to address the labor shortage and ensure current workers don't feel the need to retreat into the shadows. Immigrants are often recruited to work, and Wensloff says many have been on the same farm for years, becoming integral to rural Wisconsin communities.
So aggressive enforcement without meaningful immigration reform doesn't just affect farms. It creates ripple effects throughout the economy, from food prices at the grocery store to the cost of everyday services.
The Wisconsin Farm Bureau says it's working with elected officials on legislation with changes to the agricultural visa program. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shally Pittman. Find more news anytime at civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price for your Sunday. Just a few showers and storms out there. Otherwise, a cloudy to mostly cloudy sky. Highs of the lower 80s, a light southwest breeze. Tonight, shower chances, mostly cloudy skies, and lows falling to the mid-60s. It's 66 at our studios.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk to Tom Nelson about his new book, comparing the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald to how the economy has been turning against its workers.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Good day to be indigenous.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he didn't cut a game.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. A Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, I want to really thank our guest, Rachel Dion Thunder, for coming on. And she is with the Indigenous Protectors Movement, and really always great to have you on. You've been, you've been on the show maybe the last 5 years. It's just great to see you.
Yeah, I think it has been about 5 years, Robert. Thanks for having me on. I'm a little bit tired, just full transparency. I was on, took the interns out from IPM today to the Needy Walk that IPTF and Sharon Day do every year, and so we were out walking and running today for the water, but it was beautiful. It was really nice to be out there.
Wow. That's awesome. And that's another big Pinigigi. Thank you for coming on, for being tired. You're always a great guest. And we, you know, and I would really love if you could tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and Indigenous Protectors Movement.
Sure. You know, where do I start? So my name is Rachel Tonse. I am Big Stone Cree Nation, Plains Cree, Nihio, Nihiwak, Treaty 8. Currently live here in South Minneapolis, American Indian Movement, second generation, and, you know, one of the co-founders and now vice president of the Indigenous Protector Movement. And so the Indigenous Protector Movement is a Indigenous-based org here in South Minneapolis that myself, my husband, Benny Dion, Crow Belcourt, Jolene Jones, and Nick Estes started back in 2023. So we're pretty new. You know, and what we really saw was this niche in community that wasn't being met. And when I talk about this niche, I mean this in like resources for Indigenous activism, right? And so like traditionally in the past, there were entities here that were functioning at a high capacity, like the American Indian Movement. And, you know, things have just dwindled down over time. And we saw this need to, you know, start something new and fresh while also honoring, you know, the past and the history and all the sacrifices and also carrying that name on. And So that's why we started IPM. And, you know, we've been pretty busy since the jump. You know, I think that a lot of the listeners probably know about Mini Shields. That's one of our programs that we do sponsor here in South Minneapolis. And so that's all Native Indigenous men, you know, finding a traditional role and purpose in a modern setting, and, you know, helping protect and keep our community safe, and also growing and healing as men. You know, I was listening to one of the commercials as we were coming on, and it made me think about, you know, the work that we need to do in healing each other, you know, holding each other accountable. And so that's like that brotherhood that started with Mini Shields. And then we have kind of like the sister program called the Women's Warrior Society, that we also run, and we meet every other Tuesday. We're actually going to have a meeting tomorrow night where we're going to be planning a smudge walk coming up. And so just invite all of our Native Indigenous sisters to come join us. It's from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Minneapolis American Indian Center. And so we're going to have that tomorrow night. We serve food and just spend time together, you know, and plan. Sometimes we do self-defense classes. We've done Narcan trainings. We have a CPR training coming up. And so the thinking is, you know, to empower our women and community to not only to protect themselves, but to protect their children, their families, and if they need to, their community. And we want to empower them in order to do that, you know, to feel safer, to feel stronger, to have that sisterhood built here in South Minneapolis. You know, a lot of natives come here from like reservations, and they're looking for community. And that's a big part of what we do at IPM is community building. You know, building our community stronger, because we are an action and advocacy based organization. But if our community is not strong and healed, how can we expect our people to respond when these issues pop up? Right.
Wow. Exactly.
So we have to focus on healing this multi-generational trauma, and we need to shift that mindset to multi-generational healing. We need our people to be sober. We can't just expect to continue to survive. We need to shift into a thriving mindset.
It's amazing what you mentioned too. I heard through Minneapolis Public Schools that there's over 150 different tribes recognized here in Minneapolis specifically, and also 75,000 Native Americans in the Twin City area, making it the biggest urban Native community in the country. People looking for what you say and finding it in, you know, with Indigenous Protectors Movement and also other groups. I see what you're doing, and people see what you're doing, and I love to be able to be on with you and amplify your great work, even if you are a little tired. Oh, wow.
that's why I still came on, you know, because we can't just do the work. We have to also share what we're doing, right? Like, as Native people, we're taught to be humble, right? Like, be humble, mm-hmm. you know, be humble in what you're doing. And like, we need to keep that tradition, but we also need to like be more comfortable in using our voices, you know, use your voice, speak it out, you know, into the universe, like what you're doing or what you want, you know, like you're setting that intention, and like, how are people going to know what we're doing or what they can attend or what they can go to or how they can plug in if we're not speaking it out, except for our inner circle. So that's something I really advocate for.
Well, and I see on your post from your site and your personal posts on social media that it's a groundswelling. There is quite a few people that are doing, you know, the Women's Warrior Society and Mini Shields. And to me, being an old person, that's really exciting to see, you know, these kind of actions come back. Like you said earlier, you know, just last week, it was 1968 when American Indian Movement started in Minneapolis. And we love talking about that. But also now with Indigenous Protectors Movement stepping in, there's hope and there's a voice. And I appreciate what you and your husband and all the members are doing.
Yeah, you know, and there's so many people because it's, you're right, because it's not just me and it's not just my husband. Like, there are countless people out here every day, you know, that go unnoticed, that are putting that work in. And that is really what it is to be American Indian Movement. American Indian Movement is a spirit. It's a way of life. It's a way of being. And even before it was officially founded in 1968, the American Indian Movement existed. You know, Sitting Bull was American Indian Movement. You know, all of our ancestors were American Indian Movement. American Indian Movement has existed since the beginning of colonization. It's how you choose to live your day-to-day life. It's what are you doing to better yourself, better your family, better your people, you know, to bring us into those better days, to heal our people and to ground yourself in that traditional spiritual way. And, you know, American Indian Movement did a beautiful thing. It made it really cool to be Indian again, right? Like, yeah. it was like everybody wanted to be Indian and was proud to be Indian and proud of our ways. And they did a lot of beautiful work. And now, you know, we're in a new day. It's a new time. Some